Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we encourage you to check out our guests, their websites, the information that they have available, and consider the possibilities. It's just rather astounding. And as we are headed into another holiday season, you know, there are a lot of things that I've experienced over the brief, I say brief because in the totality of the universe, 51 years is not a lot of time. I have experienced at least 50 different holiday seasons, different types, whether it was with my family, whether it was with my first wife or my second wife. They've all been unique and extraordinary in their own ways, and here we are heading into another one. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure. We're going to keep the channels open for whatever the possibilities may bring, whatever the universe has in store for us, and we certainly hope that you will do the same, because if you do enjoy, especially for those who celebrate Christmas and the exchanging of gifts, it's kind of like giving yourself a gift. I mean, and isn't half the fun of a gift the surprise as far as what's inside, what you unwrap? So consider that possibility as we move through our program today. We're going to be talking, well, it's an ongoing conversation that we have about this subject because it permeates just about every other subject. Energy, obviously, but relationships. Relationships with those that we see on rare occasions and then even more often, and even those that we see even regularly, daily, hourly, if that be a significant other and or children, or maybe just with oneself. And we're going to be talking with a woman who is going to share her insights. She comes from a very unique perspective, I think, and we're going to talk to her. Her name is Guru Tej, and she has a website, gurutej.com. That's GURUTEJ.com. We encourage you to go to the website, as with all of our guests, and see and hear what they have to offer, as well as see and hear what we at richarddugan.com have to offer. And, of course, we are linked to gurutej.com. Guru Tej, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Really now, delightful.
Now, you come from a particular perspective, and I've had several, I will call them, you know, they've been of the Eastern monastic order, sages, gurus, swamis. And your name seems to kind of take us in that direction. So tell us a little bit about, and I may be wrong in putting it this way, tell us a little bit about who you represent, if you will, as far as a belief.
You know, the most important thing I think for people to understand in any of these situations is that the farther you get along on any path, the more inclusive that you get, and you realize that there's really nobody that's out of that capacity. When you first start on something, we tend to get very fanatical and very self-righteous and very like, this is the only way. This is like so good and very evangelical. And the truth of it is that you realize the more that you get into it is that it's really wide. It's really broad. And that you want to share the things that you have found that really work well with others, and then you don't get attached to the results. You know, my teacher used to say, be the mailman, or be the mailwoman, right? Mm-hmm. Deliver, and then don't be attached. You know, the mailman doesn't stand around to see if you open your mail, or if you read it, or if you act on it. It just delivers it, right?
Right.
You just give it, and I think that's one of the beautiful things that you do with your show, is you expose people to different things. And if we get attached to somebody, I had somebody who got very attached to me opening something that they sent, and it was so interesting because I knew that that's the way it was, and I actually ran into her somewhere, and she followed me around the store wanting to know why I hadn't opened what she had sent me. She was tracking everybody who opened it, and I said, and that's why I didn't, is because if you're really offering something, it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about the person you're offering it to. Because you think that it would be something that could make their life better, that could help them to experience a greater connection. In my thing, the reason that I think everything is about energy and relationships is because not only are we related to, hopefully, a lot of other people, but if you don't have a really deep relationship with yourself, then everything that comes along shakes that foundation. And you feel worthless and, you know, all of those things that we know aren't things that we want to feel. But you do anyway because your self-worth and your value is connected to how others respond to you. And, you know, then everything in your life, I mean, think of something that you're not in relationship with. Everything. The ground we walk on, the cars we get into, our yards, our houses, our living environments. You know, when you live in a city, you're connected to everybody in that city. When you drive, you're connected to everyone that's around. We're connected all the time. Or we feel disconnected and isolated, but that doesn't change the fact that you are connected. It just means that you either don't have the energy to be powerfully connected or that you're feeling alone. But I love the fact that alone and all one has one letter that's different, right?
Yeah.
There's one L that's different in there. So my whole thing is like being able to help people experience their own vastness. It's already encoded in them. But I think sometimes we just lack the tools to open the doors and the windows and the, you know, vastness of who we really are.
Yeah.
So I'm really into tools. I'm really into everybody having a better toolkit than what a lot of people have, because I feel like the most important things in our life we're not taught. I mean, were you taught about how to have great relationships when you went to school?
Nope.
I wasn't. You know, whatever you get exposed to, that's what you get. Right?
And there would be those who know me from grade school who I would say I had pretty lousy relationships in grade school for various reasons. But I've used this concept with doing this type of program. I mean, we've been doing this now. We're into our fifth year. I've been interviewing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Been doing this program or doing interviews for over 30 years. And I describe it this way, that interviewing someone is like opening a present at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's inside, but I get to go into another world. The guest's world, find out where they're coming from, and maybe come across some things that sound rather intriguing I might want to incorporate into my life.
Yes, I think that that's the important thing. And when you have an open mind and an open heart, then you don't just go, well, I can only do this because this is my belief or this is my way. You go, wow, you know, you don't have to cash in everything you know. But you may want to add things, especially as we go on in life. If we're not open to adding things that someone that we really see, you know, the most beautiful thing on the radio, you can't see if somebody has a light or a radiance, but you can feel it in their voice.
You can feel it.
You know,
you can hear
it. If I was talking like this and going, okay, well, I really, you know, I'm going to share some energy things with you.
And I have real bliss and excitement.
Yes. Would you believe me?
Not a chance.
I mean, the truth of it is that we are vibrational beings, and we know. We know when somebody has it by seeing them, by listening to them, by, you know, even when you're around them, there is a vibrational smell. I mean, it's just like we live in a place, you know, we're fortunate to live in California, and you've got orange trees, you know, and lemon trees and all that, and you just pick one, and the smell off of that can uplift you. Well, people have known that essential oils, you know, are one of the things that you can utilize to just uplift you in the moment, you know.
Yeah.
Just get open an orange or just take some orange essential oil or lemon, lime, and just take a whiff of it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, two things happen. One is you have to breathe, and two is all of a sudden you feel uplifted because that citrus smell just helps to release the state of depression. You cannot feel totally depressed. And I'm not talking about fake citrus scents that are all synthetic.
Right.
I'm talking about the real stuff.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the real essence of that that's encoded, that is about brightness and light.
Yeah.
And it really brings that in through your sense of smell.
Yeah. And I'd have to say that I'd add to that for myself personally, that when I am even inland a mile or less from the shore, and I can still smell the salt air, I can still smell the ocean, that does it for me also, but not quite in the same way as a lemon, lime, or orange. Those are wonderful. We had an orange tree back in Phoenix, and we'd pick all the oranges and put them in a big old basket, and I'd take them into the garage. I'd set up my assembly line, and I'd spend 15 minutes just slicing them in half and putting them on the cutting board. And then my next process was to juice them. And just the aroma filling the garage was, it was extraordinary. People go, wait a minute, don't you have a car in your garage? No, those are parked outside. This is an orange plant.
More important things happen in my garage.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something really funny. When my great-nephew went out in my backyard, he looked at the tree and he pointed at it and he was like, ball. And I thought, how fabulous. I have a ball tree in my backyard. It's like magical. You can pick off balls. I mean, wow, for a boy child, that's like, oh, my God. We sometimes miss the magic. And a child can, like, just open you up to that magic and go, oh, my God, change your view of what it is. So I now look out and I see not only do I have an orange tree, but I have a ball tree.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's just so wonderful. It's the same thing we were talking about before here, like, you know, weekends. What a strange name for something where we want to relax and take time and do that. Our language, watch your language and speak what you mean. You know, even singing songs. I change words to songs that I don't like. If I really like the melody, I'll just change the words to be what I want it to be because your word is so powerful. But I'd like to share a couple things that I think, you know, as we head into the holidays, we know that it's a wonderful and magical time. There's also a certain level of stress, especially as we go into it when times are financially challenged. It's like, and you still feel the expectation, you know, to be generous, which is always a wonderful thing. But, you know, there's so many ways of being generous. You can make gifts. You can offer, you know, some kind of a, you know, a service to somebody. You can say, look, I'll watch your kids while you go out. I'll come and I'll, you know, make dinner for you. Something that's just delightful that we haven't done in a long time because we either have more time or more money at any one time of our life. And there's always people who would love to have, you know, just that service or that companionship or that company or that connection or that feeding on some level, you know, that you can give them. So we know that sometimes being around our families are our first teachers, and they're amazing. And sometimes it's very stressful being around them or being around whatever family that you get to spend your holidays with. And I want to say that there's things that you can do in the moment, and one of the best rooms in any house is the bathroom, because when you're there, people can't interrupt you. But you can go in there and do some things that will totally change your energetic field.
Mm-hmm.
The toilet. And there's one that I really love that can just totally change everything. Put your hands up by your ears and have your left hand, you know, palm facing in to your left ear and your right hand palm facing in to your right ear. And you're going to keep your fingers semi-tight and your wrists loose. And you're going to shake your hands forward like you're chopping wood almost, okay? And what I want you to do is I want you to breathe in and out through your mouth, make an O out of your mouth. We're going to do this together, because if I tell you this and we don't do it together, you're not going to do it. I know the human nature. Okay, so if you do it with me right now, then you'll have an experience and you can go, what was that thing that she told us to do? And then I'm going to tell you how to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to take this. What this does is it resets that energetic field, you know, that we all have called an arc line. And it resets that for you, and it just clears your brain, right? So you're going to chop the hands forward, so it's just shake your hands really, really powerfully. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
If if you start feeling dizzy, squeeze your rectum and sex organs, stand up, press into your feet. And now inhale. Inhale, hold the breath in. I want you to hold it. Press your tongue to the roof of the mouth and pull up on your rectum and sex organs. Focus this energy right in between your eyes at your third eye, that intuitive place. And now exhale. You may feel a little lightheaded doing this, but I'm telling you, you're not going to remember. If you do this, if you're having a really challenging time, do it for 3 minutes. You just need to clear your energy, do it for a minute. And you'll find that you'll go, what was I thinking about? It just helps to clear that arc line in your brain. It sets up different synaptic connections in your brain.
Those are the kinds of things that we need more of, and a lot of people are very much into the structure of things. When we talk about meditation, you know, people want to know exactly how to sit, how to put their hands, how to breathe, what to think, what to say, if anything, if they should have a mantra, if they should use beads, and the list goes on. And yet, sometimes those will help us to get started, and at some point we may set the beads aside, even set the mantra aside, even set the body position aside, because we have found something that we have shifted into over the course of time. And I have to say, the best example for me, I was experiencing energy movement and body movement through a teacher back in Phoenix. Now, this was through my present wife. She was going through these classes, and they said, sure, come along, you can join her. And they were doing Tai Chi, and they were doing all of the movements, the crane and this and that and the other. Well, I didn't know the crane from a gopher. So I'm trying to follow along, and I'm kind of stumbling through and very, very clumsily. And finally, the instructor came to me and said, just let the energy flow. Don't worry about the structure. Just let the energy take you where it goes. And so it was like, thank you. And I was actually able to start really feeling and flowing and just letting things go. And so there are times when the structure can actually get in the way, but then there are times when the structure can actually help us to shift away from that structure into what it is best for us, what resonates best for us.
I totally agree. And I always use the dancers. They train like crazy, and they learn all the techniques, only to let go of them.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, the meditator, the everything. But think about the life. You know, it's like you learn all these techniques, you learn all the rules, you learn all the ways, and then there comes a time where you have to let go. But if you don't know any of this, then there's nothing to let go of. You can't let go before you've actually learned something.
Right,
so
right.
It's like the learning. You already knew how to allow energy to move through your body. If you didn't know how to do that, what he said to you would have been useless.
Yeah.
It would have been like, what do you mean? I can't do that. I need to do what you're all doing, right? So we can't jump ahead to something when we haven't, you know, taken care of the foundation of, you know, what needs to be happening. So,
you know, you talked about the power of words in reference to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a key root word in the word relationships. I think that people just gloss right over. And it has to do with relating, to relate. And that's
well,
the whole point.
If you want your ship to go, you've got to do that.
Exactly. And if we don't work on that, I'll tell you that just the other night I was barbecuing. And we have this little grill that needed some cleaning. So I brought it in the house, and I'm struggling cleaning this thing with one device, and my wife says, here, why don't you try, you know, this other thing? So I do this. No, it was working much better. And as I'm wiping it down and cleaning it off and everything, I knocked over the bottle of dishwashing liquid. And I grabbed it right away. Nothing spilled, but I picked it up. And I have to say that I had a flashback to childhood whenever somebody was standing over me, so to speak, as I'm doing something, I became very self-conscious. And I actually became frustrated because I felt that way. I don't know that was necessarily her energy coming at me. And I said, okay, fine. And I took the grill and I dried it off. And then I just walked out and I kind of slammed the door shut because I was so frustrated because of that incident, which was, again, not a big deal. And the next thing I know, about 2 hours later, she comes up to me without a word and she just hugs me. I think she knew that the little boy in me was felt disconnected. And I couldn't figure out how to communicate that to her. I wasn't mad at her. I was frustrated at me, but there was that kind of overseer feeling. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's part of what we go through in relationships. We have those kinds of experiences. And a lot of times people will hold on to those and they will sort of keep score.
Right.
And that's not what those experiences are for.
No, they're so for being able to go back and revisit those places and change the energetic.
Which she did.
Yes, absolutely.
Quite,
and there's so many ways that you can do it. What she did was beautiful, you know, and sometimes that's a very feminine way of doing it. A very masculine way is almost like saying to you, why do you do that? Every time that you get into this, why does that happen to you?
Mm.
But not in a blame way, but,
right,
you know, in a situation, because I had a very similar situation this weekend. I was learning how to use going from a BlackBerry to a Droid phone, and it was like, I'm a great texter. I could not text on this thing to save my life. I felt like my fingers were the size of giants. It was like insane. And I found myself getting very frustrated. And my partner said, you know, why are you frustrated with this? And it was great because I got to go back and look at a place in my life where I got criticized for everything and not to acknowledge that because I had known that before.
Yeah.
But to actually go back and realize that that person was doing absolutely what they thought they should be doing at that time. And it was such a wonderful revelation. It was like, oh, my God, there was nothing to forgive because I really got that they had been doing what they thought they needed to do and that what had happened to me in that situation had given me, you know, the impetus to make huge changes in my life.
Hmm. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk with our AAA editor, Beth McDonald, from Beth McDonald Consulting. We're going to come back and talk more with Guru Tej about energy and relationships and how we can bring the energy back into those relationships that are working for us, that are serving us, that we are serving as well. And it is a two-way street, and we'll do that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. And we're back with Guru Tej and understanding the dynamics between energy and relationships and relating so that the ship, as you put it, Guru Tej, goes in the direction that we'd like it to. I find an interesting dynamic, though, and that is the teachings of all of the great religions of the world talk about the unity, the oneness. You talked about the similarity between alone and all one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet also what is taught is the duality.
Right.
And
it's a paradox.
Exactly. It is a paradox because mm-hmm. if there is a creator, a God, and if you have a belief system that says now there's also the opposite, a devil, an evil one, an ungod or what have you. But the God created everything, then God even created the ungod or the evil one. And if God is omnipotent and omniscient, pardon me, then God knows the outcome before it ever starts. And someone said to me, well, what are you going to say in front of God? And this was during my Christian broadcasting days. What are you going to say before God on Judgment Day? And I thought about it for quite a while, and I came back to the person and I said,
thank you.
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. But my comment to would have been along the lines of, okay, first of all, I take full responsibility for the life that you gave me, okay? And so if my actions and my life did not meet up with your standards, then you can do with me what you will anyway, what you will. You're going to do with me what you will anyway, so it really doesn't make any difference whether I sit here and try to justify my life or not, you know. But in the final analysis, it's your responsibility because you created me and you knew the outcome from the beginning. So there you go.
It's totally true. Hafiz has a poem totally about that. Like, let's lay the blame where it really belongs, at God's feet, you know? Like, what?
Yeah.
Basically, like, why are you all getting bent out of shape? You all have lawsuits in court against God. You know you do.
Yeah.
And just realize that if everything really is of that essence, then just put everything back where it belongs, which means offer it.
Yes.
Offer it.
But the interesting juxtaposition is that you start with the duality and you end with the oneness. Why do we bother with the duality if we're going to end there anyway? Why don't we just begin with the oneness? We're all connected. We're all part of the energy that exists, the energy that helps us to relate to one another. We all impact one another. And of course, then I ask the ignorant question, or from some perspectives. So why don't we just do that?
Right. My teacher put up a tombstone, probably 10 years before he died, and the tombstone said, "Born at zero," which zero is shunya, which is that continuous circle, that infinite circle, right?
Yes.
"Died at one." And people freaked out that he put this tombstone up. Maybe it was 15 years before he died. He loved it.
Oh.
He just thought it was the best. It was just like, you know, and it was like, I just love that saying because it's exactly what you're talking about. Is it's like, okay, I was born in that shunya, that zero, born at zero, born in that infinite nothingness and everythingness, and I'm going to die at one.
Yeah.
So the whole in-between is just this play of connect, disconnect. I'm relating to you, I'm not relating to you, I like you, I hate you, I love you, which is just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so if we truly can see the God in all, you know, if you can't see God in all, then you can't see God at all. And we like to pick and choose where we see that infinity. Oh, but in those really bad places and what's happening in this country now, and that's really bad.
Yeah.
Is it really bad, or do we just not understand the long term of it? Are we looking through very finite eyes as opposed to very vast scope of understanding of what it really is about?
I love what Baha'u'llah says in the Baha'i Faith, that if you accept one of God's messengers, you accept them all. If you reject one, you reject them all.
That's right.
Because they're all coming from the same place. Ergo, as you just stated. There are times when I have to be reminded of that. I mean, it's like for me, I live in a very open and wilderness-type area above Santa Barbara. And it doesn't surprise me when I hear that, oh, there was a bear or a deer or a bobcat or whatever animal you want to list. It's like, why is that such a big deal? Because this is where we live, in their territory. So, of course, we're going to see them. Just like if you were in the city, you would see cars and buses and trains and planes and streetlights and concrete, because that's where you live. So if you are living in that state of oneness with God, which because of the steel and the concrete and the cars and the planes and the trains and the other people, it makes it a little more difficult to see. But if you can, then all of that other stuff, as you say, doesn't matter. I mean, it does, but it doesn't matter.
But even, you know, the interesting thing, because I do live in the city, but I happen to live in a city that we have, you know, I have possums and raccoons in my backyard. There's, you know, at night, I used to get up and go meditate very early somewhere else. Now I just do it at home. But, you know, you go out, there'd be coyotes, like, walking down the street looking for kitties, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a very alive place. There's a lot of animals out in my backyard at night.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting that also, you know, it's accepting all of the creations of the creation. You know, accepting the fact that, oh, my God, you know, to me, businesses have the chance to be, you know, the temples of the future because they have people there for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. How those people are treated inside of that will oftentimes, not always, I understand, will oftentimes reflect back in the quality of work that comes back to the employer. Because the truth of it is, and Google figured this out, if you give people a place to rest, if you feed them good food, if you have yoga and meditation and all these things available to them, they will stay much longer and work really well and at a much higher level for you because you've given them these breaks. Because the truth of it is, powering through things is not always the best way to do it. We can only work, this is a scientific fact, 2.5 hours before you start to lose focus. Now, I understand if you're taking Ritalin or Ativan or whatever it is that people are taking for focus, you know, enhancing drugs, that may not be true, but you're also ruining yourself on the other end because you're blowing your pituitary, which is the system, you know, it's like your main generator of your whole system. Your pituitary is called the, you know, the command center of your whole glandular system. So that being said, I'm going to give you something that will connect your navel and your pituitary. That's really simple to do. That you can do at work, you can do anywhere, you can do, you know, during the vacation, and it clears the area in front of your body, which gets very congested by sitting in front of computers for a long time, gets very congested by people talking at us, gets very congested by things that we take in that we see as trauma and drama and, you know, oh my God, I feel this so intensely. Mm-hmm. So this just helps to clear the front body, because your front body, even though it's where your chakras, your energy centers, you know, come into your body, it's also our relational body. Our back body is our intimate or soul body. People, only the people that are really close to you recognize you from the back. You know, most people recognize you from the front because it's your face, because of, you know, all of these things that are much more connective and finite. So what you're going to do is you're going to interlace all your fingers with each other. This is called Venus lock. It's the lock of love. So you just interlace them, and you press your thumbs together. And you're going to start with your palms facing down towards the ground, because that's what you're going to do is release this energy. And you're going to have your thumbs right in front of your third eye, which is right in front of your two eyebrows. And you're going to move the hands as quickly as you can from that position down to your navel and back up again. And you're going to do it with that same O breath. O breath is for activating your heart, because the heart meridian goes right through the center of the lips. And it's a fabulous, fabulous thing to do. So we're going to do this very quickly, okay? And so it's just... Inhale deeply, and I want you to flip the palms so they're facing. Hold the breath in. Flip the palms so they face right into your third eye. Don't let it touch your forehead. Hold it out in front so there's a moat of space in between. Hold the breath in, and just take that energy right into your third eye, your intuition. And exhale, and relax your hands. So again, you can do that standing up. You can do it in the bathroom. You can do it at your desk. Wherever you need to do it. If people think you're weird, teach it to them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this really makes me feel, you know, clear and connected, and it just kind of clears out, you know, a funky phone call, a, you know, a conversation that was very ineffective for you.
Yeah.
So that you can actually get to see underneath that. because the gems usually lay beneath it. And when we get upset, it's a setup, and we just spin that thing that we're upset about continuously through us, and it doesn't make you any calmer. But if you do something, these are what I call interrupters.
Mm-hmm.
When you use these things and you interrupt those ineffective thought programs that we have going, then you really have a chance to change your energetic state.
Extraordinary stuff. I have to say that as we progressed through this program in the last, not just here in the last 40 minutes or so, but also in the last 5 years, the diversity of guests that we've had on who have offered various techniques and so forth, I find that to be extremely important and extremely valuable, in the sense that it gives you something to work with. You don't have to buy anything. You really don't have to go anywhere because you just heard it. If you want to hear it again, certainly you can go to the website and you can listen to the interview again. You can even download it, listen to it as many times as you want, or just take out the exercise and listen to that. It does seem, Guru Tej, that we are, on one level, as a people, as humanity, we are starting to make some progress forward. But when we start looking outside of ourselves, we don't see that. I'm reminded of some of the websites that I've been to recently, where they are now beginning the process through the whole social networking concept to link people doing exercises of different types, even these that you have just shared with us here on the program. And we've also learned that because we're all connected and that distance, time, and space are irrelevant, doesn't matter whether you have 100 people and they're scattered around this globe or not, it's just as impactful as if they were all in the same room.
Yes.
So it's reinforcing that oneness.
It is. And you know what was so interesting when I first started learning Web 2.0, which was like, oh my God, you know, it was like, oh, I thought, oh my Lord, I don't have the chip, you know, it was like, oh, I don't have the chip, you know, and I see these kids, like, you give them your phone, they're like, oh, do this, and, you know, I'm like clunking through the processes, but the beauty of it is that I just kept doing it. And I have so many friends that go, oh, I don't do this, I don't do that. And I'm thinking, I don't say that to anything. I'm like, no, I'm going to learn that. I'm going to do that. The beauty of it is that it's called social media, but what it really is it's communities. And when I got the fact that I've built spiritual communities all over Canada and been part of building spiritual communities in the States, and I understand the structure of building a community. And it's the same thing online, is like learning the structure of building that which gives you a common unity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go around people that have a common vision, a common unity with you. But sometimes you need to break out of that common unity and see somebody else who has something radically different that you may or may not agree with. But when you open that part of your brain, it opens a whole new understanding, which to me is such a beautiful word, because it really means to stand under. And having things that help you to stand under yourself so that you can stand under other people.
Mm-hmm. As we are coming close to the end of our program, a couple of questions that I like to put to my guests. I'm always intrigued by the responses and the answers. Because each one is different. There is no question about it. In the context of Guru Tej today, who is Guru Tej?
Well, I can tell you what my name means, and the consciousness of having a name that has a destiny, that you know what it is, means that you have a chance to live to that. My name literally means, Guru literally translates as one who takes you out of darkness into light. But I really know that what it does is it expands your awareness so that you can be in both darkness and light and understand that they're both very necessary parts of the whole. And Tej means at the speed of light. So that is my destiny, is at the speed of light to help people be able to transform and reform their own energetic states so that they can experience the vastness.
And why this? Why now?
Why now? Well, I've been doing this for a very long time. So I've been doing this for over 40 years consciously. But, you know, I was a strange child. I was brought up Catholic, and I read books of the saints and collected, and I spent my, you know, money on collecting statues of the saints. And, you know, so that was kind of my thing, and holy cards and all this kind of stuff, because I really loved them. I was talking to somebody in class the other day about, you know, Teresa of Avila, that I was totally in love with the fact, and at that time I didn't even know the word levitate, but that when she meditated, she just would, like, rise up, and that she became, I didn't even know the terminology for it then either, but she became a breatharian. Not because she wanted to become a breatharian, but because it just happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
As she went along, it just, like, her needs changed, and she became much more etheric. And the more etheric you become, the less you need certain things. So, you know, I think that in this time on the planet, it is about getting to that place where there's more of something or the other. You know, that quantum leap, that mass, you know, position. And we can go any place in the future, but we are the determinants of that. And how we choose to speak and to live and to breathe and to do and to, you know, act and think and feel and smell and taste and know. I mean, your sixth sense, your knowingness is the most important thing. But how we choose to do that, that's affecting everything right now. But we're hitting critical mass. And the more that we can look at each other and uplift each other and help wake each other up, that's what it's all about.
Hmm.
So I have techniques that I know have woken me up, and that's what I want for everybody else, that we wake up, to why we're really here, and it's oftentimes not what we think. 99% of the time, it's not what we think. So the more that you're willing to understand why you're really here and utilize and learn as if you're learning for everyone. I had somebody the other day that was staying with me, and his sons were fighting, and he said to them, one of them, he said, will you do this? Will you say you're sorry to your brother and go hug him? He said, no. He said, will you do it for me? And he said, yes. And sometimes we have to realize that we're doing it for, not just for ourselves, yes, for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but we're also doing it because we can, because we know that we're part of a whole. We're part of each other. I'm part of you. I'm part of everyone who's listening to this. I'm part of the people that aren't listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you all.
Yeah. I love something you said earlier in the program as we get close to the end of this broadcast. It's a threat, but it's also a warning to those who tune into the program. Once you've heard this program, and you've heard the information that's been broadcast, that has been put up on the archives, and you've listened to the audio, it's too late. You cannot,
yes.
You cannot unhear it.
Unhear it, yes.
So it's almost like putting a warning up at the front that, be advised that what you're about to hear will have an impact on your life in some way, shape, or form somewhere down the line. If not today, tomorrow. And I kind of picked that up even from the people that I was working with back in the early days of my career, who used to talk about the power of words, and specifically the Word of God, the Bible, and how it would never return void. And that was one of the things that always struck me. So I thought, well, but isn't that true? That whatever choices are put before you will always be in front of you. Whether you choose them or not, that's another subject. but they'll always be there. But if you don't know those choices are there, if you don't know that they're available, you can't choose them ever. And that's why we do this program.
I say to people, it's on your hard drive now.
Yeah, exactly.
Really on your hard drive.
Yeah.
You know, what you do with your hard drive, you can try to wipe it clean, you know, but your hard drive, your personal hard drive,
yeah,
you can't do that with.
Yeah. Good luck with that, by the way. Good luck with trying to delete it. Guru Tej, I want to thank you so much for sharing this time. This has been probably, the thought that came to my mind was this was a gentle program. This was very nice. I enjoyed this.
Bless you. Thank you so much. And may it really uplift and shift people's consciousness to be the vastness of who they can be.
GuruTej.com is the website. Go out and check out the information that she has available. Use the techniques that she's given us here. You can be contacted, correct, GuruTej, through your website if people have further questions.
Website, I can.
And we encourage you to do so. And again, thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights and your energy with us here on Tell Me Your Story.
Thank you so much, and blessings to everyone.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We encourage you to tune in every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Go to our website, check out the archives, this program and others. And until next Saturday at the same time, love to all.